today is taken out of the book called The Acts of the Apostles, the third chapter. We read that Peter and John went up to the temple in the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. This ninth hour, according to the commentary, is the 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the evening sacrifice was offered up in the temple. We find Peter and John together, two disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, going up to the temple. What a blessing it is, my hearers, when we have a desire to come up to the house of God, when we together may go up speaking about the things that God has wrought in our hearts. These two men, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, God had poured out his Spirit abundantly upon them, and they were going up to the house of God, in all probabilities talking with each other about Jesus Christ, being filled with the love to this blessed Savior. Not only filled with love to him, but they were filled with love to their neighbor. For wherever this love may be, you will find that that person will have in beginning already the fulfillment of the commandment that God has given unto us, that we must love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. Peter and John, going up to the temple, they were walking together. And when they came near to the gate of the temple, there was a man that was lame from his mother's womb. He was carried every day to this particular gate of the temple. He was laid there, probably by some relatives or friends who took pity upon him and carried him to this particular spot and also carried him back home again. He had been lame from his mother's womb. What a pity. What an object of compassion. A person that has never walked. When he was a little boy, he couldn't run. He couldn't play like the other children. If you have children that are healthy and well, my hearers, be thankful that they are that way. It's only God that has given them this. When he grew up, this man, he had to sit or he had to lay. He couldn't walk. Somebody had to carry him wherever he had to go. And now we find him at the age when he would have been able to be employed and to earn something for his livelihood, but he couldn't do this either. He couldn't go out to work. He couldn't make a living. Have you two good legs? Can you go out and work every day? Remember how good God is to you. Even in this, my hearers, we are so blind to the goodness of God over us. This man then, he resorted to begging. That isn't a very nice thing to do, is it? To beg. You ever pass by a beggar? You ever see one in the street? Some with their legs off, some blind. You shut up the bowels of your compassion and go by them? You got a hard heart when you go by them? Think. You could be that person. What maketh you to differ? It's only God. Again, his goodness over us. But we have two good legs, as we have two good eyes, that we are healthy and well. We find that this man begged. Every day, he sat at this gate. People went in and out. Most of the people, of course, took something along with them. When they went up to the temple, they took silver and gold. And when they saw this man sitting there, some probably gave him something, some didn't. Now this man, he had to do this to survive. And now here comes along John and Peter, two disciples. And they see this man sitting there. Maybe they had seen him before. He had done this for years. People knew him. Many a person knew him. But they stopped. And they looked at him. Oh, they felt so much pity and so much compassion towards this man. They were moved inwardly to do something for this man. And when these two disciples stopped this man, he asked an alms of them. And he expected when they stopped to receive something from them. You can imagine how his face lit up. With eager expectation, he thought, surely, I'm going to get something now. We know not what was going on in this man's mind or heart. But Peter and John stood there and looked at him. And Peter opened his mouth, and he said unto him, look upon us. And he was obedient to Peter's voice. He looked right back at Peter. And when Peter said this, my hearers, the eyes of Peter were upon Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. His natural eyes were fastened upon this man, laying there in this helpless condition. But the eyes of faith were upon Jesus Christ. And as he looked at this man, he spake unto him, and he said unto him, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have, give I thee. You know, silver and gold, my hearers, are two things that everybody's after in this world. What people won't do to get silver and gold. What sin and iniquity they would not commit to receive silver and gold. These two disciples, they were poor fishermen. They didn't have anything of this world's goods. And therefore Peter said, silver and gold have we none. But what that we have, I give unto thee. You know, Peter had something that was worth more than all the gold and silver in this world. What was that? You know? He says in his epistle, it's something that far exceeds gold and silver. It's something that perishes not. It's something that is tried by the Spirit of God. And that something is faith, my hearers. Peter had faith, and his faith was centered in him at the right hand of God. And when he spake unto this man, he spake in faith, and he said unto him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. And what did Peter do? Did he just stand still to see whether the man would get up, whether he would hobble up or something like that? No, Peter's faith was so strong, my hearers. He just reached down with his hand and he took hold of that man. And he pulled him right up, believing without wavering. So firm was his faith that he believed when he spake that man would instantly come up and walk. Oh, how strong was Peter's faith concerning this man. And when he took hold of him, he stood up immediately. Oh, my hearers, for this man who had been expecting to receive an alms, to receive silver and gold, he received something that he never expected. Oh, he immediately stood up. And he went with John and Peter into the temple. That's the first place he went to with his good feet, my hearers. What a wonderful thing. He went with John and entered into the temple with them too. And when he went into the temple, my hearers, we find him walking, leaping, and praising God. This proved that it was a miracle. This proved that it was from God. This proved likewise that he didn't hold fast to Peter and John and say that those two men had cured him. No, but we read, praising God. He got away from the two instruments and he was led to the source and to the origin of him who had cured him. Of this man, walking, leaping, and praising God. Oh, my hearers, what a sight he must have been to those people that were in the temple. Those people that had seen him for years sitting at the gate of the temple. Oh, my hearers, they were filled with wonder and amazement. You know, this gate where this man sat at is called in this text beautiful. This gate was somewhere around 50 cubits high. A cubit is the length from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger, about 18 inches. Considering a foot and a half, this gate was 75 foot high. It was 10 cubits higher than all the other gates around the temple. There were 10 in number. 9 of these gates were covered with gold and silver, but this particular gate was covered with Corinthian brass, much more valuable than gold and silver. This gate had 15 steps that you went up to the ascent of it. It was beautiful in figure and in workmanship. It was put there by Herod the Great. This gate, many people went in and out of. And it was by this gate that this man entered into the temple himself. He had sat there so many years and had never been able to enter into it. But now he went up the steps into the temple, praising God. You know, that's the sweetest employment of a living soul, to praise God. All to praise him, my hearers, is heaven begun here upon earth. For this man had reasons to praise God. He had been cured from being a lame man. He was made, as Scripture says, and was fulfilled. The lame man leaped like a hart, like a deer. My hearers, have you never had reasons to praise God? There may be some amongst my hearers. You probably weren't in the predicament of this man who was crippled from when he was born. But there has been a time in your life when maybe God laid you low, your wife, your husband, one of your children. And that was a critical time for you. You were in trouble. And in your trouble, you cried to God that he would hear, that he would answer. And behold, God did hear. God did answer. God spared the life. Maybe you had to go through an operation. Maybe you were in trouble yourself. Or you were so concerned what was going to become of you. And you went through this operation and it was success. And you were restored back to health. Probably you're sitting here amongst my heroes. And what was the first thing that you wanted to do? Was it like this man to enter into the temple to praise God? Had you not reasons to do so? Oh, what a blessing, my heroes. If you have been the subject of the goodness of God in this respect, it may have been likewise that you were brought down in providential experiences. You were made poor. You had not too much of this world's goods. You didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. You had a family to feed. You were wondering what was going to become of you. But lo, God opened this heart. He opened that heart. They brought something to your door. Somebody came along and offered you probably a position. You didn't have any work. God opened the way in a providential sense for you again to support your family honestly. And what did you do, my hearers? Did you come up to the temple praising God? Oh, my hearers, we all, every one of us here, without a doubt, have had a time in our life that we were given to see that God had done something for us, even naturally. And we have had reasons to praise Him. Oh, how short do our praises come in comparison to this man. True, maybe he had more to praise God for than you and I. But oh, when it comes to praising God, my hearers, that's something you and I can't do of ourselves. It's something that has to be given from heaven above. And this man was given to leap and to praise God. What a wonderful experience this man had in the natural sense. Now this man is a type of a child of God. He's also a type of a sinner still in his sins. Now this man, he was born lame, never walked. In and through sin, my hearers, in and through the deep fall in Adam, you and I have become so lame, so crippled, that we can't offer up, even if it were necessary, one sigh, one cry, a living cry to God to be saved. That's how deep you and I have sunken in and through sin. And this man, he had to be carried from place to place. So sin carries us from one sin to another. And if we continue on therein, we most certainly will perish. But now, lo and behold, there comes these two disciples along the way, and they see this man. He's an object of pity and of compassion. And my hearers, if you happen to be one of those whom God has chosen from all eternity, you are an object of pity, of compassion in His sight. He sees you. He's watching you. And the time comes when He likewise will come to you. And He will say unto you, like Peter and John said to this man, arise and walk. He will raise you up out of that pit, that horrible pit of miry clay, where you are sunken by nature. And He will take you by the right hand and lift you up. Oh, what a mercy this is, my hearers, when the Lord Jesus in mercy draws us and lifts us out of our sins, out of the state of death in which we are in, and gives unto us life. Oh, what a miracle this is, a miracle of grace. And this, my hearers, takes place sometimes outside of the temple. It doesn't always take place inside of the temple. How often people are arrested by the Spirit of God, their conscience is made open, and sin becomes sin, and they cannot go on any longer in it. But when this takes place, my hearers, the first place that they would like to go to would be to the house of God. Oh, they want to go to hear the word of God. They want to come to the temple. And if they possibly could, they would like to speak and tell everyone what they have experienced. Some they don't dare to talk. Some they are not in that state that they are enabled to speak. But there are some whose mouths are open and they would like to glorify God and praise Him for lifting them up out of the horrible pit. Oh, my hearers, have you ever experienced anything like this? Oh, my hearers, you have something then that's worth more than silver and gold. You have something that will never perish. And you have a faith that God has wrought in your soul. A faith that will remain to the end. A faith which will be exchanged into seed. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, when we are given true faith. Now this man, he also is a type of a child of God. For when God commences a work of grace in our hearts, my hearers, we don't know how lame we are, how crippled we are. I remember once an old saint who has children that are listening to me. When God began a work of grace in my soul, I was kind of bold. I had a lot of liberty to speak. And this aged saint says to me, I hope someday that God may break both of your legs. I didn't understand what she meant. I couldn't understand at that time because I was just filled with the love of God. But I understand her perfectly now. You know, when God comes and breaks our legs, then we realize that we need Jesus Christ. And then we feel that we need a Savior and that we cannot do anything without Him. And when a person is brought into this state with both of his legs broken, such a helpless, weak worm of the dust who can't believe, who can't help himself, who fears that it's all lost with all what he has experienced, and who needs Jesus Christ to save him. For this, my hearers, is a picture of this man sitting at the gate. And lo and behold, at times, the Lord Jesus does come and lift that soul up out of its despondency, out of its unbelief, out of all its troubles, and it gives it to believe. You ever have that? You ever had it that you had to believe, whether you wanted to or not? You know, we are filled with unbelief. And it is only God that can make us believe. So many people believe today just with their heads and with their mouth. They never believe with their heart. The apostle says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Can you believe with your heart? If you think you can, you're sadly mistaken. For I tell you, I'm standing here in front of you, and if I could believe with my heart, I would do it right away. But I can't. I need the operation of the Spirit of God to make me believe. Believing isn't so simple as some people think it is. Some people think believing is just an assent to the common word that we read and hear. And they think that's believing. Believing is far more than that, my hearers. Believing is assent, trust, and confidence, and reliance upon Him who speaks the word and gives the promise. And now, my hearers, this man and Peter and John went into the temple. And while they were in the temple, everybody seen this man. And they knew him. And they marveled and they wondered at what had taken place with this man. You know, if God converts you, if you've been an outward sinner, a gross sinner, profane sinner. You've lived a life of recklessness. Everybody knew you to be what you was. And God should change you. God should bring you into His house. You know, the same thing happens. What happened here? People will say, What's the matter with that man? What's the matter with that woman? Look how changed they are. Look the way they used to live. And look at them now. There they are in the house of God. Their ears are open. Tears are rolling down their cheeks sometimes. They ain't paying any attention to nobody around them. They're just listening. You know their miracles? Their wonders of grace? People wonder and marvel at such creatures. Have they ever wondered and marveled at you? As your wife, your husband, your children? Has anybody marveled at what you were? You know, God does wonders in a person's heart. He changes them. He renews them. Or they can't go on any longer in sin. They must forsake all their former companions. God makes a separation, even between wife and husband. That's close, very close. But God brings it much closer than that. You know how close he brings it? If you don't love God above all things, above your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, that's Jesus, he's speaking now, you cannot be my disciple. Now that don't mean that we have to hate them. We have to despise them. No. But that means that that love that God plants in a sinner's soul, that love is above all other loves. It's a supernatural love. Oh, I wish every one of you has experienced it, my hearers. Then you would know something of what it is to love God above all. By the grace of God, I can speak about this. I know a time in my life when it was that way. And I think I became a wonder to many people, even some sitting here. Whoever would have thought that I would stand in the front of a multitude of people and try to teach them out of the Word of God? Never in my life did I think I would be here. And I wouldn't be here, my hearers, if it wasn't for him who placed me here. Believe me. And that man in the temple, he was a wonder. He was a miracle. And every God-wrought sinner, by the grace and by the Spirit of God, is a miracle. He's a miracle of grace. And what did this bring? It brought a whole lot of people around this man and around the apostles. They all crowded around him. And of course, this man, he held to John and to Peter. You know why? Why, they were the instruments in God's hands that he was cured, that he was healed. Have you had an instrument in your life that God used to cure you from sin, to bring you to himself? Have you ever had that? Have you read a book sometimes? Maybe it was just the Bible. There was no instrument like Peter or John. It was just the Word. It might have been a book of some author that you was reading. Or it may have been that you come to the house of God. And God used the minister. He used the Word. All my hearers, when God does that, there can't be anything else but love to that creature that God uses. This man, he held to them. I said to you that he praised God first, but he also loved these two men. He couldn't do otherwise. And now these people that came around, they seen this man holding fast to them two men. They began to marvel and wonder at the power of these apostles. Where did they get this power from? Why, it was in and through the name of Jesus Christ. For that he had performed this wonder. Had he not used that name, my hearers, that miracle would never have been done. For this name, Jesus Christ, oh, what a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. What a blessed name. The only name given under heaven whereby sinners can be saved. It was through the power of faith in the name of Jesus that this man was cured. Let me ask you a question. Has the name of Jesus Christ any value to you? None whatsoever. How sad is your state, your condition? Has it never been as an ointment poured forth unto you, this precious name? Do you not need this precious Jesus? Do you not long after him? Do you not desire him more than all the gold and silver in this world? What's life without Jesus? Be honest. What have you to live for, my hearers? Where are you traveling to? What shall become of you if you have no interest in this Jesus? How sad is your state, your condition? Could I picture it unto you? Without Christ, without hope, and without God in this world. Oh, what a sad state. And this is the state we all are in by nature. It's a state that you can't deliver yourself out of. But all of this precious name, now that means so much. I wonder if any of my hearers have ever been raised up by this precious name. You know, sometimes we get so despondent, so cast down, so filled with fear, and we fear that everything is wrong, that we never had anything from God. You would say, is that possible? Yes, that's how dark it becomes. And that's how fearful a soul becomes. And all they tremble. When they look back, they made a profession. They said so much and they spoke so much. And now it's all gone. And all my hearers, Jesus, who they long after, who they desire after, he does not come. He seems to be concealed. He seems to be hidden. They haven't found him yet, and they fear they'll never find him. You ever been there? You ever fear that you'll never find what you're seeking after? Oh, how often I've been there, my hearers. And my hearers, sometimes when you're in that state, you may get on your knees. And you may begin to pray. And you may mention the name, Jesus Christ. And all that name, that means so much then. In that name there lays salvation, pardon, peace, reconciliation. Everything that your soul needs. And all you see so much in this precious Jesus then. Oh, how great a change takes place in your soul. And in through this precious name, this wonderful name, a name above every name, and a name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. All my hearers, this precious name, Jesus Christ, means so much to every living soul. And let me teach you, my hearers, when you draw nigh to the throne of grace, draw nigh through this name. All the Lord Jesus has taught his own disciples that if they ask in his name, he shall give it unto them. He has taught them again, ask in my name, and my Father shall give it unto you. Oh, may we all come to the throne of grace, plead for all what we need, naturally and spiritually, and lay our plea down upon this precious name. All this name, the Father, he loves to hear. It is this name, my hearers, that is music in the Father's ears. You know, wherever God has planted grace in a sinner's soul, there the Lord Jesus reigns. And there God the Father, he has something in that soul that he wants to praise Jesus. And he at times tunes that soul, that soul will praise him. And many times you have to be brought into depths. And out of those depths the Lord lifts you up and he puts a song in your mouth. He puts praise in your heart. And all that's so God glorifying, my hearers. And now Peter, he begins to speak to these people. He had a golden opportunity now to preach a sermon. All the people came around him. And now he begins to speak and says to these people, think not that we, by our own power and own holiness, have made this man whole. You see how these apostles, they placed the honor and the glory upon Jesus too. You know, they had a golden opportunity to become a pope or a bishop right here because they had all the people around them. And all the people wondered and marveled at the power that these apostles had. Oh, they would have liked to set these men up on a pedestal. But these men, they were gifted with the Holy Spirit and with grace. And wherever a person is gifted with that, my hearers, it makes a person humble. It makes him so low, so insufficient in himself. Oh, the more grace and the more of the Spirit that we have, the more that we will want to glorify Christ. And therefore, these apostles, they said, not us, not us, not with our holiness, and not with our lives that we cured this man, but he directs them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins to speak about the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Oh, when he began to speak about this God, the Jews had reverence. Oh, they have a great reverence for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Believe me, even to this day. You ever hear a Jew pray? That's the way he begins. Oh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They never mention the name of Jesus, but they do mention the God of Abraham. And when Peter began to speak about the God of Abraham, then the Jews opened their ears. And he says, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, he hath glorified his son Jesus. Oh, God had raised his son Jesus into heaven above, and he had glorified him after a life of suffering and of death. And Peter directs these people to this precious Christ. He spake unto them and said unto them that they had delivered him up where Pilate was ready to release him. All these Jews, they had taken this deliverer, and that is his name, for the deliverer shall come out of Zion. All this great deliverer, they had no use for him. They delivered him up unto Pilate. And delivering him up unto Pilate, they desired his life. They desired him to be crucified. He said unto them, ye have denied the Holy One and the Just. Oh, they had denied this precious Jesus. I love these titles, my hearers. The Holy One, the Just. Oh, if you're an unholy sinner, if you're a wretched creature in yourself, when you hear a title like this, this Holy One, oh, this precious Christ, why, if he hadn't come into this world, if he hadn't lived a sinful and a perfect life, there would be no salvation for any one of us. He is the Holy One above all other creatures that ever lived here upon earth. Oh, blessed Jesus, who is called even by Satan himself, we know thee, the Holy One of Israel. Oh, has he any value for you, my hearers, this Holy One, this Just One? Oh, he came into this world, and he suffered and died, the just for the unjust. If you are an unjust creature, and an unholy creature, then this Holy One, this Just One, who these Jews denied before Pilate, he shall become the object of your affections. my hearers, my time is gone. Next week, the Lord willing, we will continue the lesson from this point, where our next lesson is in conjunction with this very one. May the Lord add his blessing to the few feeble hints that have been spoken this afternoon, is our wish and prayer.